Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are so thankful on this Easter Sunday morning that the tomb is empty and Jesus Christ lives and Jesus Christ reigns and Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we're so thankful that because he lives, we have hope. Because Jesus lives, we have the assurance that you will see us through these days and you will give us eternal hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so now, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, meet us right where we are and take us to where you want us to be. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, happy Easter. We are so thankful that we can gather with you virtually this morning, but I have to tell you, this is strange. This is the quietest this building has ever been on an Easter Sunday. This is the quietest our church has ever been as we are spread out all over the region on Easter Sunday. But we know that God is faithful, and we know that God comes to meet us right where we are. And so we know that the Lord is here with us, and he is there with you, for we have gathered virtually, and he is with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us, even in these uncertain times. The thing I love about the message of Easter, I think more than anything, is that the message of Easter speaks so clearly into uncertain times. Man, those are the kind of times we're living in right now. Uncertainty. Every day we're listening to a new press conference. Every day we're awaiting something new that will change our normal for this moment. Every single day, to some degree and in some way, we're having to adjust to a new normal. Every day we're waiting on a phone call from a boss or an email. This is what's happening with your job. This is what's happening with your future. Every day we're waiting to see what comes in the mail. Is there going to be some sort of statement that is going to rock our world or some sort of bill? We got to figure out a way to get paid. We're coming up on tax season, and even though they've extended deadlines and things of that nature, it's still an uncertain time. What is this going to look like? My wife and I just filed our taxes the other day. We did it with social distancing and all the necessary protocol to keep everybody safe, but there was some uncertainty as we turned in all of that work to say, okay, what comes next? My wife and I received our statement from our portfolio. I got a call the other day from one of our members that said, you know, I've been watching my portfolio and I think I'm going to quit for a while because things are changing. And they're changing daily. I've had people who won't even pull up the stock market on the TV, on their phone, because it's all changing. And really, the question that's on our minds is, when is this going to come to an end? When is the COVID-19 crisis going to move from being a current event to a part of our past, a history lesson that we can all learn from? Well, we're not there yet. And so we have to deal with the uncertainty of an ever-shifting new normal. Can I give you some hope this morning? That's exactly the kind of world into which the message of Easter speaks the loudest. On Easter Sunday morning, God came through in such a way to take away the uncertainty of the biggest question that was on the disciples' minds. I want you to think about what was going through the disciples' minds after the events of Good Friday, after the events of Holy Week? They had given themselves over to follow Jesus. They had left everything they had ever known. They had left everything they had ever done. These were people who had devoted themselves to a trade and had started to build a life. And here comes this Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, follow me. Where are we going? Follow me. What are we going to do? Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. What does that mean? But they were so compelled by Jesus that they left everything to follow him. He was worthy of their entire lives. And for 3 years, they watched him do the miraculous. They watched him do things that you could never imagine. People who were blind were able to see again. People who were deaf were able to hear again. People who couldn't walk were able to walk again. People who had died were able to live again. They had seen the miraculous for 3 years, but the tide of public opinion had turned against Jesus, and he was crucified. Having been beaten, mocked, spit upon, derided, driven out of the city, he was crucified on an old rugged cross, and he died. The Bible had said that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would scatter. And that's exactly what they did. They scattered and they hid. Why did they hide? Because they were scared to death. Their whole world that had seemed so certain that they had found the Messiah, the one who would overthrow Rome, the one who would restore the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom that had the glory of David and Solomon and all the great history lessons they had ever read, he's now dead. And what's more, all the people that killed him know that we were with him. All the people that led him out and crucified him know exactly who we are. So they scattered and they hid because they were scared to death of what was going to come next. They were filled with uncertainty. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. They had left everything behind to trust and follow Jesus. And now Jesus is laying in a tomb, and the stone has been rolled over the door of the tomb. And they've sealed the stone, and they've sent a Roman guard to protect the tomb, lest any should come and steal the body away and say that he had risen from the grave. They were scared to death because every hour, every moment brought a new degree of uncertainty that they didn't know what to do with. And so they were paralyzed in fear, not knowing what was coming next. The message of Easter speaks very clearly into a COVID-19 world. We're waiting on the next call, the next letter, the next email, the next press conference. What's coming next? When will we reach a peak? When will we have an effective treatment? When will we be able to get back to some semblance of normal? And yet in all of that, we're seeking to grow along the way. In these unprecedented days, we're saying, God, transform us, make us better versions of ourselves. But we don't know what's coming next. That's the sort of message. That's the sort of reality into which the message of Easter speaks the loudest. Because on that Easter Sunday morning, when the women went to the tomb on the first day of the week to anoint the body, and the stone was rolled away, God took away the uncertainty, even of the death of the Messiah, and showed them that there was hope that transcended their circumstances, strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. God came through in a big way on Easter Sunday morning. And if you're in Jesus Christ, here's the promise you have. The rhythm of Easter lives in you. If you have repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the rhythm of Easter lives in you. Jesus had said that he would be crucified. Jesus had said that he would be buried. Jesus had said that he would rise again. And they were so clouded by their uncertainty that they forgot about those things. Well, can I tell you that if you have repented of sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus has said he's got you. Jesus has said he will see you through. Jesus has said no weapon formed against you shall ultimately prosper. Jesus has said he will finish the work that he has begun in you, and he will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He is going to see you through. So there is no suffering that you will ever endure if you are in Jesus Christ that does not pale in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in you. Jesus ushers in a new normal on Easter Sunday. In fact, if you're taking notes, that's the message I want to give you today. By his death and resurrection, Jesus ushered in a new normal. And I want to show you how. So if you got your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read this account from Matthew's gospel, the first 10 verses of Matthew 28. If you're a YouVersion user, you can tune in to our live event now, and let's see how in Easter Jesus ushers in a new normal. Matthew is a saved tax collector that nobody liked, and yet he met Jesus, and Jesus transformed him, and he has given us this recording of the gospel. Hear these words. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." In Matthew's gospel, we're going to see that Jesus, who is now risen from the dead, is going to meet his disciples and give them a job to do for the rest of their lives. That they are to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. And Jesus was going to give them a promise. It's a promise that he has given to you in Jesus Christ today. "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I believe the greatest words in the Bible are these here. "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Because Jesus lives, everything else is transformed. Because Jesus lives, as the Gaithers sang, we can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Because in Jesus Christ, we know he holds the future. So life is worth the living because he lives. And through his cross and resurrection, Jesus has ushered in a new normal. I want to give you 3 points of this new normal this morning. First, the first new normal that Jesus ushered in through the cross and the resurrection is that God can be known. God can be known. I want to tell you something. There is a God. He is our creator. He created the world and everything in it, and he created you. And he desires that you would know him. And the thing about it is, you've given him no reason that he should desire that you would know him. I've given him no reason that he should desire that I would know him. But his desire is that he would be known by you. Now, you go back to the Old Testament. There is a reality of God's holiness and God's otherness that you see clearly on display. For God was with his people, he tabernacled with his people, but there was still a separation between God and his people. Only Moses got to see the glory of the Lord as it passed by. And do you remember what happened to Moses every time he met with the Lord? He came away from that meeting and his face was glowing. You could tell that he had been with the Lord. So much so that he would put a veil on his face for the people that he would meet with after. You could tell that he had been with the Lord, but the normal person didn't get to be with the Lord. The normal person had to approach the Lord through a priest, through a mediator. The normal person had to go through a lot of steps just to approach the Lord, and they didn't get to see him because he was mysterious. He was other. He was separate. And even though he was with his people, there was still this shroud of mystery around God. Who is this? Moses asked when God was sending him into Egypt. When they asked, "Who do I say has sent me?" God answered, My name is I Am. I am the existent one. I am the one who is. There was never a time when I was not. There will never be a time when I will not be. I am. You tell them I am has sent you to get them. But there was still some mystery. But I want you to hear this morning on Easter Sunday, there is a God who made the world and he made you. And he desires that you would know him. In Romans 1:19, the Bible says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." So we get to know God through observing his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, right? So we look up and we see the stars and we say, wow, the God who is in charge of those is also in charge of me. That's good news. Because here's what I figure. If he can handle those stars, my life's not much for him to handle. He's in control. He's got a hold of me, and he'll see me through. So we look up and we say, wow. But then we see in Jesus Christ a fuller revelation of Almighty God. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18 tell us that the eternal Word of God, who was with God in the beginning, who was God, was made flesh to dwell among us. And we have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one, John said, had ever seen God, but Jesus, the only begotten, has revealed him. Colossians 1:15 tells us that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. So through Jesus Christ, we see God revealing himself to us. So what happens when people like you and me, who have been blinded by the world, blinded by the flesh, blinded by the devil, so that we cannot see God. God, in his great love for us, reveals himself to us. God overcomes our deficiency and shows us himself, and he shows us himself most fully in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Saul, who would become Paul, got saved? Saul thought he saw God so clearly. He thought he had wrapped his mind around God and he understood the greater things of God. And what happened when he was on the way to Damascus to persecute and imprison Christians there? God showed up. And Jesus appeared in a light that blinded him. The resplendent glory of God in Jesus Christ utterly blinded Saul. And for the next several days, he was blind. You know what I think God was teaching him? You think you see me so clearly, but I need to show you something. I need to show you, you don't see me clearly at all. So I'm going to take away your sight to open the eyes of your heart. I'm going to take away your sight, Saul, so that I can open up the eyes of your heart and you can truly see me for who I am. Right now is a moment when I think God has our attention. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I've been in ministry for quite a while now, and never at any moment in my ministry have I been asked by so many people, "Preacher, you think this is it?" And here's my deeply theological answer, because I bet it just got, we call it revival quiet. I bet it just got real quiet in your house. I don't know. I do know this. Jesus is returning. He is returning to judge the world and to gather together his people. And my job is to make sure you know how to be one who is gathered as his people instead of one who is judged and then go pay for your own sin. God desires for you to be in relationship with him. That's why he sent Jesus to die on a cross in your place to pay the price for your sin. God desires for you to be in relationship with him. That's why he's revealed himself to you through Jesus. God wants to be with you. So when Jesus returns, and this is it, for a lot of people it's going to be really bad news, because they will have chosen to turn away from God, to go their own way, and that never works out. And there'll be a lot of people for whom it is the greatest news ever. Jesus' return will be a welcome sight. My desire is this. I don't know when he's coming back. The Bible says he will come like a thief in the night. My desire is that you would be ready for his return. And the only way to do that is to quit trying to make yourself acceptable to God and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, I've sinned. I deserve wrath. I deserve hell. But I believe you died in my place to pay the price for my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. Do you know that if you will pray that prayer from your heart, God will forgive you, He will cleanse you, and He will grab a hold of you, and He will never let you go. And He will start you on a heavenward trajectory, a journey that will lead you to your eternal home. He will bring to completion the good work that He begins in you at that moment when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe this Easter Sunday, Easter needs to get inside you. Resurrection needs to get inside you as you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So we come to Him with open eyes, saying, God, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. I don't know what's coming next, but I'm going to trust you. The second way that Jesus has ushered in a new normal is this: God can be reached. The very essence of God's character is that He is holy. And holy means set apart, other. The opposite of holy is common. Well, here's the thing. God is perfect in His holiness, and we are marred by our sinfulness. He's holy, we're unholy. And so there's a separation between us and God. That separation was shown in the Old Testament by a veil in the temple. There in the temple, there was the holy place, but then at the very interior of the temple was what was called the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is where the mercy seat was. This is where God would come down to meet with His people. Only one man, only one time a year, was able to go into the Holy of Holies. The high priest on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, could go through the veil, and they would tie a rope to him just in case he died while he was in there so they could drag him out. Because no one was able to approach the holiness of God. Before the high priest could go in, he had to make atonement for his own sin. He had to sacrifice all sorts of animals just to atone for his own sin before he could go in to atone for the sin of God's people. So there was a separation between them and God. And our sin causes the same separation between us and God. He is utterly holy, and we are utterly sinful. But something happened at the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. What happened at the cross was the temple veil was torn in two, and the way to God was opened to sinful human beings like you and me. It's not just any way, one way. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But through the cross of Jesus Christ, the way has been opened up for all people to come to God through Jesus Christ and to be called God's children, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to have the certainty that God's got a hold of them. He will see them through, and He will never let them go. So what happens when unholy people can't approach the God who loves them? God comes to them instead. That's the message of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I couldn't get to God. I was too unholy. You couldn't get to God. You were too unholy. So what did God do? Compelled by His great love for us, He came to us. He died the death we should have died. And He tore the veil separating God and human beings and said, we can be together. The second new normal that Jesus introduced and ushered in by the cross and resurrection is that God can be reached. And you may be sitting right where you are thinking, God, you wouldn't want me. That's real. I felt that way too. But we can be encouraged. Just look at the people He chose. Look at a bunch of fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John. They were fishermen. They made their living by catching fish. They were not great religious scholars. They were just ordinary guys. What about Mary Magdalene? The Bible tells us that Jesus had to cast seven demons out of her. She had a lot of problems. Look at Matthew. Matthew had deserted his own people to go and take up taxes for Rome, and he was thereby messing over and growing rich upon the backs of his own people. Those are the kind of people that Jesus went after. He told the Pharisees who thought they would be good candidates for the kingdom of God, "I didn't come to call the healthy, I came to call the sick." Think about the woman at the well who had been so beaten up by others and by her own choices that she had a name no one would desire. She wouldn't even go to draw water when other women would be at the well. And Jesus went on purpose just to meet with her. Can I tell you something? I believe this morning Jesus has come on purpose into wherever it is you're watching this just to meet with you. By His Holy Spirit, He is there. You were too unholy to get to Him, so He came to you. And it's amazing what God has done through this broadcast over the years. There was a young lady who woke up on her couch, hungover one day. She was flipping through the channels. And she landed on WBKO on a church service. There was a guy in a suit. Something told her, "Leave it here and listen." She did. She trusted the Lord. And she's now serving Him on the other side of the globe. There was a man who was laying in a hospital bed who had been sent home to die, who many years before had been involved in church as a little boy. But the rest of his life, it was not the case. He was sent home to die. And laying in his hospital bed, he turned on the TV. And there came the First Baptist Church of Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it's not about the First Baptist Church of Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's about the message of hope in Jesus Christ. And he heard hope. He heard this message that I want you to hear today. You can't approach a holy God in your unholiness, so He has come to you. And He's come to you today. Jesus ushered in a new normal. We come to the Lord with empty hands, knowing that we don't have anything to offer. All we have to offer is sin. But Jesus has come that we might be saved. Well, the third aspect of the new normal that Jesus has ushered in by His cross and His resurrection is this. Number three, God will renew. God will renew. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul tells the church at Ephesus to remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember, listen to this, that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that's a hopeless place to be. At one point, you were alienated from God. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. But verse 13 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So what happens when people who are unclean encounter the risen Christ? He makes them clean, and He gives them life. What kind of life? Well, they're at the bottom of your notes. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus came to bring a new normal. Jesus came to bring a new normal. For those who were separated from God, they could be brought near. Not because they somehow became worthy to go to Him, but because He came to us. For those who were without hope and without God in the world, He ushered in through Easter Sunday a hope that is utterly eternal, a hope that is never ending, a hope that is an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. He ushered in a hope that will see us through anything that we have to deal with. He ushered in a new reality. No longer do we have to be what we used to be, separated from God and uncertain about what our eternal future held. That's not what God desired for us. That's not what God desires for you. In a time of uncertainty, God wants you to be able to be certain about the most important thing, and that is this. Regardless of what happens throughout this crisis, are you eternally secure? Because after this crisis, you know what's going to happen? There'll be another one. There'll be another one. That's the reality of living in a fallen world. We're going to navigate this, and then we'll deal with whatever comes next. And we'll deal with the uncertainty that whatever comes next brings. And through it all, God will be available. Through it all, God will be never further than a prayer away. Through it all, God's arms will be open to receive us. And so why don't you turn to Him today? If for the very first time, ask Him to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. Or if you've been following Him for a while, thank Him for the new life that He's given you and the certainty that you're able to have, even in the face of hard days. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we thank You so much that You came to us. We did not deserve anything good from You, but You loved us, and You gave Yourself up for us, and You laid down Your life so that we might live, and You rose from the grave and ushered in a new normal that has transformed us. Lord, let us live raised as You are raised, and let us glorify You all along the way. Amen.